Call it yin and yang this weekend in the world of golf. Fans will be forgiven for thinking that Sunday at the Travelers Championship was a rerun of a previous event. That's how often Scotty Scheffler leaves with the trophy. He just notched his sixth win of the season, and it's not even July. Can anyone stop him? And Amy Yang had recorded a dozen top five finishes in major championships in her long career, but victory had always proved elusive. Until yesterday, when she ran away with the KPMG Women's PGA Championship. We go inside the most popular win of the season as Golf Today starts now.
Golf Today.
Welcome into Golf Today, Eamonn Lynch alongside Jordan Cornett. And Jordan, it's starting to feel like Groundhog Day in this game right now, because it seems every time we get to a Sunday, the same guy's leaving with a trophy.
I think we need to talk to our producer, Harris. We don't need to do live shows on Mondays. We know the outcome. Let's just tape these things, enjoy our Monday off, because it's the same song and dance. He just floats around, either blows out the field or he hangs around, but eventually, Scotty's going to punctuate a weekend with the hardware.
And if it feels the same for us, can you imagine how it feels for the rest of the best golfers in the world? Yeah. Let's take a look at how Scotty Scheffler got it done yesterday at the Travelers Championship, TPC River Highlands. This, the playoff, back on 18 with Tom Kim.
Yeah, and just so cool, composed. He's going to apply the pressure because you know he's going to put it tight on his approach. That's absolutely what Scotty does.
Tom Kim following up from much shorter distance, but the result, not quite what he'd been producing all day. Flares this one out to the right. Now Jordan Spieth holed from that bunker in a playoff back in 2017, but he didn't have a lie like this.
A little bit rattled, I think, is what I saw from Tom here. Understanding who he was going against, world's number one, sudden death golf, 22 years old, and he kind of showed it here. Now he's won on the tour, but I think this moment was one that'll be a learning experience for him.
Just a tap-in for Scotty Scheffler to record his sixth victory of the 2024 season. And this is what the final leaderboard looked like in Cromwell, Connecticut. Sungjae Im finished third place alongside Tom Hoge. Akshay Bhatia was in the mix as well. A lot of guys had a chance to win yesterday. Afterwards, Scotty Scheffler met with the media.
Yeah, it was a great finish. This golf course produces a lot of those, you know, the exciting stuff coming down the stretch, and so it was nice to be out there competing. It's great competing against one of my good buddies and Tom Kim, but it's also very difficult at the same time. You know, I want what's best for him, and so sometimes it can be hard. And I think for both of us, you know, battling against each other out there, but it was a lot of fun, and you know, proud to be sitting here with the trophy.
Scotty, given the amount of success that you've had so far this season, do you find yourself, or do you and your team get together to reassess the goals that you've got going on, or do you maintain that no matter what the outcome happens to be?
I don't set long-term goals. I never have. I've always been best just when I stay in the present, and I have what I would call dreams and aspirations, and those will probably never change. But as far as goals for the year, nothing really changes for me. I'd show up, and it's most important for me to have the right attitude and try and compete. And I feel like the team around me this year has done a great job of, you know, getting on to me a little bit when my attitude's not where it needs to be. And I feel like on the golf course, Teddy and I have been as tough this year as we've been in a long time, and it's been a lot of fun.
Sublime Scotty is probably the best way to describe it. First to win six times in a PGA Tour season since a guy by the name of Tiger Woods did it in 09. First to have six wins before July 1 since a guy by the name of Arnold Palmer in 62. He's won half of his Tour signature events in the season, and he's won, of course, the Players and the Masters. So, look, the dominance is evident. What was your biggest takeaway from yet another week punctuated with the hardware going to world's number one?
There are no superlatives left for this guy in terms of the on-the-course stuff. And, you know, we hear ad nauseum about his statistical superiority over everyone in the strokes gained approach and the strokes gained total and strokes gained tee to green and birdie average and scoring average. He's also won $27 million, and it's not even June at this point in the year. We haven't even gotten to the lucrative playoff season yet. What strikes me is now two things. It's the separation that he's now created. He has as many FedEx Cup points, which is the currency of the PGA Tour now. He has as many as the guys second and third, Xander Schauffele and Rory McIlroy combined. He's also accumulated more world ranking points in the first 6 months of the year than anyone in the history of the rankings. Tiger Woods previously held that record back in 2000. he has blown by that. He is really separating himself. But what became apparent to me yesterday was the secret weapon here is the affability. I mean, you've played elite sport.
Yeah.
And you look at a guy like Scotty Scheffler, no one's going out there wanting to stomp on Scotty Scheffler because he's a nice guy, he's amiable, affable with everyone. There seemed to be no edge to that yesterday. Now, Tom Kim clearly is very close to Scotty Scheffler. He's almost kind of, they refer to each other sort of almost like a kid brother dynamic there. But was that something that was missing for you yesterday, is that Tom Kim wasn't going out there to attempt?
Eamon, when you look at that picture, you see, and look, Scotty's 28. It's not like he's long in the tooth, but he kind of is. And obviously what he's achieved, there's a separation. But when I look at those two, it feels like baby brother outside playing in the backyard with big brother. And you're going to let the score be kind of tight for a little bit. But when push comes to shove, and this is no knock on Tom Kim, who's a heck of a player, but just the approach felt like this is always going Scotty's way. And I think that's what's void right now in the sport. Look, I cheer for greatness. I'm enjoying what I'm seeing with Scotty. But you need not even the villain that everybody talks about, but you need the competitor that's going to push him. He's pushing himself, and he's pushing himself to great heights. But when we look at Prime Tiger, who is that guy right there that, oh, well, Phil's in contention. It rarely happened where they're going against each other. But when they did, it was like, okay, Phil's a guy. Who's the guy on tour right now that is really going to put the heat on him? And you know, I hate to say it, but it felt like it was going to be Jon Rahm at the start of the 2023 season, and we know where that went. So, like, for me, I'm watching two 22-year-olds in that final threesome, in Batia and Kim, and it just felt like a 6'1", 130-pound soaking wet guy, and another one, 22 years old, who's bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, and as a kid, very talented, both of them. Very dangerous. I do think they'll win majors at some point in their career, but there's the separation was very apparent, and that playoff hole, it happened quick because you just knew.
Even leaving aside the separation in skill set or experience, is there a... There's a lack of an edge. Scotty Scheffler doesn't bring out an edge in people. His competitors don't look at him and say, I want to crush this guy because I don't like him. He doesn't give that vibe to anyone. And I think that becomes apparent on Sundays. He doesn't irritate people.
And Eamon, I think that's what you're talking to. Maybe you were tapping into when you mentioned me being an athlete, is there isn't that approach from the competition, at least this past weekend, and really throughout the runway of the season, Scotty winning half the signature events. It speaks to, at least this weekend on Sunday, the evolution of two young stars. Those young stars aren't built to go beat the world's number one, not when he's playing like this. Couldn't even get him on his B game because this wasn't A Scotty. This was B, B plus Scotty. They're learning. I think Tom Kim takes what happened in that playoff hole on 18. And look, a lot of nerves.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it shortly, but protesters running on. He still had to make that birdie putt from 10 feet. He did that. So incrementally taking those steps and learning how to compete in that stage. And I think that's something that comes with growth. You're talking about two young guys, two young bright stars on this tour that are figuring out, okay, this is what it's like to get in the playpen. This is what it's like to come out of it against world's number one. They're not there yet.
Absolutely. A big learning curve for those guys yesterday, and a positive one at that. Well, another loud statement was made yesterday. Amy Yang on the LPGA Tour, the veteran, won her first major title at Sahali in the KPMG Women's PGA Championship. We're going to break down this emotional victory with Grant Boone and Beth Ann Nichols right after this short break.
Welcome back. Jordan and Eamon here on Golf Today. There are showers, and then there are champagne showers like the one that Amy Yang, the 34-year-old South Korean, enjoyed after winning her first major, taking home the KPMG Women's PGA Championship at Sahali Country Club. A lot of emotions. You can see she's a favorite amongst her country women and colleagues, as everybody felt like they had won, supporting their champion, Amy Yang. Congratulations to her. Phenomenal on the coverage all week long. Beth Ann Nichols joins us now. And Beth Ann, we've seen the images. Everybody clearly excited for Amy as she garners her first major championship. What stood out to you? What impressed you most of her performance throughout the 4 days?
Well, to win at Sahali, first and foremost, you have to drive the golf ball well. So she did that, or Sahalway, as they call it. But her scrambling was elite level, you know, and to build a 7-shot lead on a course like that is mind-blowing. You know, she had it at double digits there for a while, but just the way she was able to stay poised, obviously a few hiccups down the last, I'm sure she's glad she had that big cushion, but to see her finally get it done, as you said, was a celebration for the whole tour.
Beth Ann, the statistic I think that surprised me most in the coverage last night was that this was the first South Korean victory on the LPGA Tour in 16 events The pace used to be, you know, one in every five was a South Korean golfer. Is there any particular reason why you think that dominance has kind of flattened out?
I think there's probably two reasons for it. First of all, the rest of the world is catching up. We're seeing, you know, a strong presence from China now, Thailand, Japan, obviously, sending a lot of strong players over. But also, I think some Korean players are staying back and choosing to play on the KLPGA. You know, a lot of players after COVID choosing to reprioritize things a little bit and play closer to home. And the competition is great. It's a lot easier to get around, easier for travel. You can stay close to your family. It's a really tough adjustment moving all the way to the other side of the world, as no one knows better that than Amy Yang.
You know what stood out to me also this week is Lexi Thompson and the freedom in which she's playing with currently. Beth Ann recently announcing her retirement, pending retirement at the age of 29. She's been in the limelight for nearly a full two decades, and you can tell she's been open about how that's worn on her, the challenges of it. But with the golf she's playing right now, it warranted the questions, and she got them at the end of the week of, are you sure you want to retire? And she was kind of ambiguous in her response. I see you chuckling. I mean, what do you make of Lexi's future with how she's playing right now?
Yeah, we get a lot of, we're going to take it day by day. I might be at another KPMG Women's PGA. I might not. This technically could be one of her final major championship appearances. We won't see her at the Evian Championship. She hasn't played there since 2019, but she will be at the AIG Women's Open at the Old Course. But, you know, I wouldn't surprise me at all to see Lexi Thompson play in a few of her favorite events next year. You know, she... at the grind of the full-time schedule, I can completely understand why, after, you know, spending pretty much half of her life on the LPGA and the public spotlight, she would like to take a break from that. But as you say, she's turned the corner on her golf game, and she does love the fans. She loves the atmosphere of the events, and the LPGA sure could use her.
Someone who doesn't seem to be loving it as much right now is Nelly Korda, which seems so odd, Bethan, given that she went on the streak of 6 wins out of 7. Now it's 3 missed cuts in a row, 2 rounds north of 80 in major championships. What do you make of where Nelly is right now?
Well, this was in many ways so much more shocking than the U.S. Women's Open, where that 10 really felt like an isolated incident and the rest of the tournament wasn't that bad. She fought back, almost made the cut. But what we saw on Friday was very different. Absolutely nothing was going her way. The emotion that we saw from her after the round, you know, she was crying so hard. When I went to ask her questions, she had to walk away and compose herself and then come back. You know, this really hit hard. But I also think that no one on the LPGA has a better support system than Nelly Korda when it comes to just people within the family, her immediate family, who understand what it's like to have these moments that are embarrassing, where you feel like you've just failed in front of everyone. But I also think Nelly's talked a lot this year about, you know, how this is just part of sport, you know, and she has a great perspective on that and says that she actually likes it when golf humbles her, not, of course, to this extent, but I definitely think that she'll bounce back.
Well, she is, of course, the Olympic gold medalist from last time around, which brings us to the Journey Made, presented by Delta, when Amy Yang found out she was headed to Paris last night on Golf Central.
So much we've been talking about with the Olympics, too. How much of making, you know, the South Korean team really, you know, was part of your goal, maybe not just today, but this entire season?
Mm-hmm. I thought about this since last year, and it's a great honor to be representing South Korea, where I'm from, and people love golf and support women's golf a lot, mm-hmm. And I'd love to be in the team.
And here is one of the toughest teams to make in all of Olympic sport, the South Korean women's golf team. Amy Yang getting that second spot on the roster.
U.S. team not to be outdone. That group is set as well, and you do not see 4 names as we saw in 2021 in Tokyo Games. Obviously, the reigning champion, Nelly Korda, Lilia Vu, and Rose Zhang. So a very impressive group there set as well. Your reaction, Beth Ann, to the teams now firmly out for the public to digest here on Monday morning.
Well, I'm thrilled for Amy Yang. You know, this very well, like Lydia Ko has said often, could be her last chance to play in Olympic Games if she was close to retiring. Amy Yang, that is, not too long ago. So, you know, I think that's for her to have this final opportunity potentially is fantastic. But also, you know, looking further down the list, which we didn't see there, it was a heartbreaker for Allie Ewing. She finished number 16 in the Rolex rankings. And of course, you have to move into the top 15 to get that automatic fourth spot for Team USA. So really, really tough for, I'm sure, Allie Ewing to swallow. She obviously had a great run that started it at the U.S. Women's Open there with three top five finishes in a row. But, you know, it's unusual. This is the first time we've ever had a country not have four representatives from any country. So at the Olympic Games. So it just shows really how deep the tour is right now.
It was such a charming reaction from Yang last night as well when she found out this news, Beth Ann. And once in a while, we see men treated almost as an inconvenience. It's just another week on the road. Does it mean more to women to play the Olympic Games because every opportunity to promote women's golf has to be grasped?
I think 100%. I think it especially means more to international players, because when you win a gold medal in a country like South Korea, as NB Park will attest, it didn't matter that she'd won 7 major championship titles. When she became a gold medalist, her fame went to a whole new level, and it's going to be the same for players from Japan, Thailand, China. So, you know, I think for most of these players, they realize, you know, that they could become almost immortal if they get on that podium and what that means. So, you know, Amy Yang obviously got over a huge hurdle when she won the CME last November, her first victory on U.S. soil, birdied the last two holes. It was, a huge mental boost for her. And then to close a major championship out, you know, what a story it would be to watch her potentially go on and win a medal after this.
Yeah, it'd be a lot of fun to watch that. Beth Ann Nichols, thank you very much, and job well done this week out west.
Thank you so much.
Back on golf today, and a sleep ago, a startling scene on the 18th hole of regulation yesterday as both Scottie Scheffler and Tom Kim birdie putts remaining on the final hole, and then suddenly 5 protesters stormed the green, leaving paint-like residue on the greens. Police got involved, making 5 arrests. And because of the disruption, tournament officials forced to cut a new hole for the pending sudden death playoff. It would all be decided on that 18th, but Scotty and Tom were called to the green to first be shown where the new hole would be placed. Just a weird, weird scene, Amy.
It really was, and I guess you can make the argument that protests aren't meant to be polite and that nothing has ever really been accomplished by people who behave well, but I think there's a balance between actions and setting here, and you can separate the nobility of the cause from what happened yesterday, because people ought to be concerned about the climate issue, but is that issue or cause advanced by running on to deface the green and the 18th hole of a golf tournament? Is it advanced by defacing priceless art, which we've seen? Is it advanced by putting the same kind of substances on the ruins at Stonehenge in England that we saw last week? Because at a certain point, you don't advance the cause and you just look like an insufferable jackass. And that's the vibe that was left from the protests yesterday. The cause has nobility and ought to be a matter of concern. Actions like that don't impact anybody who actually has the ability to address that issue.
Yeah, and when you think of civil justice leaders and the iconic Martin Luther King, well, he wasn't running on NFL fields, NBA courts, and trying to deface Picasso paintings. They were doing stand-ins. There were speeches. There were things of value to make people understand, hey, these are issues that matter to the world, and this is how you can get involved, and this is the proper way. And to me, when you've got a crowd that's sitting there trying to watch very riveting golf and you're disrupting that, you're not going to make people turn and say, Eamon, what's the cause that I need to get involved in? No, yeah. They're going to be chanting curse words that get bleeped out and a pause in the coverage because they don't want to hear the expletives that are directed at those protesters. So I think it's an unfortunate approach. I think these are real causes and real issues that matter and should be heard. I agree with you. I just don't think it's the proper place.
Yeah, there is that balance between drawing attention to the cause but turning people off. And there are ways to draw attention to causes, but disrupting sporting events, and this has been going on for a couple of years. You know, the Open Championship in Britain last year was on high alert because there had been disruptions in horse racing over there. There had been disruptions in football games. There had been disruptions at Wimbledon. We're probably going to see the same again. Golf had been overdue for a disruption like this, and I think there has been a security presence that has been amped up at a lot of tournaments an expectation of this, but it just undercuts the cause that doesn't need it.
And I'm not saying this in jest, but I kind of wonder if there's some PTSD from a guy like Scottie Scheffler, what transpired in Louisville with him and just being rattled in that moment. Then all of a sudden you find yourself in another moment where you don't feel safe and protected on the course, and all of a sudden some craziness is around you. I mean, I'm sure he was a little skittish throughout it all. And another thing, going back to sport, Tom Kim to stand over that birdie putt and knock it down after the disruption to then force the playoff. And I wonder if it lingered as he got into replaying the 18th hole, still coming off the adrenaline and the emotion of what transpired just moments before.
I'm sure Scotty was relieved when he saw that the cops were chasing somebody else instead of him. But we're three majors down, two more to go on the LPGA Tour this season. And the best in the world have another date on the calendar as well, the Olympics in Paris. Teams are finalized. Brant Boone will be joining us to talk about Yang's win and how she earned that coveted spot at the Games.
Take a bow. Time now for Winning Moments presented by WinGrips. It was 34-year-old Amy Yang of South Korea who took home the KPMG Women's PGA Championship at Sahali Country Club. At one point in the final round, Yang held a 7-shot lead until she ran into a couple hurdles coming down the stretch. But still, Yang came away victorious by 3 shots. And after her round, she didn't hide her emotions.
Drowning in champagne, but I know you love this feeling. This is your 75th major. You come so close before, but now you get it done. What was different this week?
Oh, I was, sorry, I've lost the word right now. It's all the hard work our team did together, and I'm so grateful for that. And I, you know, all 4 rounds, it wasn't tough out there, but I just trusted what I prepared, and just I did my best all week. Yeah.
What does this mean to you, this win, at this point in your career?
You know, I always wanted to win a major, and I came close, you know, several times, and I started doubting myself if I ever gonna win a major before I retire, because I've been on tour quite a while. And you know, I am so grateful and very, very, like, happy to win a major.
Amy, emotional, understandably so. Here's a look at the oldest LPGA major champions in the last 5 years. Amy sits atop, but it's all relative. I mean, we're talking about being in your 30s. Anna Norquist did it, obviously, in 2021, and the AIG Women's Open, Ashley Buhai in 2022, and let's not forget Angela Stanford, all the way at the age, the ripe old age of 40 years old. Are you kidding me? Obviously very young, got it done in 2018, Amen.
A 40-year-old youngster compared to us, Jordan. Well, Grant Boone was on the call last week at Sahali, and Grant joins us now. Grant, the celebration yesterday seemed remarkably authentic. This was a hugely popular win among her peers on tour. And what was remarkable to me during the course of the day is that she didn't play like somebody who'd never won one of these things before. She looked so calm all the way through those 18 holes.
Yeah, they say nice guys finish last. Nice ladies finish first sometimes. if anyone's ever said a bad word about Amy Yang, I've never heard it, and I've been out there a long time. You saw players from all over. I mean, literally Americans and New Zealanders, and obviously a lot of her countrywomen from Korea were there to drown her in champagne. It was a great scene. I think the final group we talked about, it was an interesting contrast. You had the veteran, you had the newcomer in Miyu Yamashita, and you had the long shot, fittingly, from Louisville, from Derby country, and Lauren Hartledge. And so Amy Yang, for example, didn't have Lilia Vu or, you know, Nelly Korda or Jin Young Ko in the final group. May not have mattered. I think the victory Sunday and her performance was probably as much a result of all of the stars that had you know, been created over those years, the scar tissue that had built up in 17 years and 75 majors. You just mentioned Angela Stanford. Amy is, that was a great shot. A-Lim Kim is a certified goofball, the U.S. Women's Open champ herself, and she made sure that Amy felt that all the way down. But, you know, we mentioned Angela. Only Angela had needed more majors to win her first 76. This was the 75th for Amy Yang. So I think this was mostly about Amy admitting, I'm going to be nervous, and I'm just going to have to embrace it. She had been there before. She had had leads going into the final round of major championships before, and not even played poorly, per se. Ng Chun rallied with a 66 to beat her at Lancaster at the U.S. Women's Open in 2015. So it hasn't always been Amy's, you know, issue. It's other times just other players being better on that day, but she was the best for sure on that Sunday at Sahali.
Grant, we saw the images. We've read about it. We've heard about it. Amy and her fellow countrywomen celebrating with her, but one that really stood out, the Hall of Famer, Sayree Park, and her being a guiding light in her career. What kind of impact has somebody like a legend of Sayree Park had on Amy Yang leading up to this momentous moment?
Well, we talk about these singular players in any sport, and I think Sayree is certainly one of them. It was 1998 that she came to the U.S. as a 20-year-old. She won two majors, won five times. There had been two women who had won on the LPGA Tour from Korea, Oki Koo being the first one back in the 80s. But Sayree really opened the floodgates for Korea to the LPGA Tour. And Amy Yang was really in that first wave after that as a teenager coming to the U.S., moving with her family first from Korea to Australia, then from Australia to Orlando, Florida. And so she's lived half of her life on the LPGA Tour, and she was one of those, like Inbee Park, like So-Yeon Yoo, who watched as Sayree Park won the U.S. Women's Open, you know, with her shoes off in the water there at Black Wolf Run, and was inspired. And then over the course of the 2010s, as Korea dominated the LPGA majors, winning almost half of them, 23 of 47. She watched one of her fellow Koreans after another hoisting major championship trophies. And so I think that's why you saw her emotion with Tom yesterday. It was that long journey, finally at the high heavenly ground, as they call it at Sahali, she had finally reached the promised land.
It seems quite surprising that she's the first South Korean winner in the last 16 events, Grant. You just go back 3 years and it was a South Korean winner roughly every five events on the LPGA Tour. Is there any reason why you think there's been a kind of a leveling off in terms of that South Korean dominance?
I would say it's less about Korea dropping and more about other countries rising. So you think about how Thailand and China have sent more and more players over to the LPGA Tour since then. And quite frankly, there haven't been an abundance of the great players from Korea come over. Some of the very best players from Korea haven't chosen yet, at least, to come over to the LPGA Tour in the last 2 to 3 years. You go back and you had G.A. Shin, who played great on the KLPGA. She came to the LPGA Tour. So-Yeon Yoo did that. Then we got Na-Yeon Choi, and then you had Hyo-Joo Kim and In-Ji Chun and Sung-Hyun Park and Jin-Young Ko and Se-Young Kim, and they all opted to come to the U.S. to play on the LPGA Tour, which everyone agrees is clearly the best tour in the world. And we just haven't seen as many come over in recent years. Minji Park hasn't come over. Yiwon Lee hasn't yet. We've seen, you know, every now and then a player like Shin Sil Bang, who's a terrific young player, hits it miles. They haven't come over, you know, as many haven't come over recently as did maybe 10 years ago. I think that's some of it. But then I think also just watching how other countries have grown. And let's face it, there's been a massive resurgence in the performance of American players in the last 5 years.
You know, Grant, as you watch the sport and as you play the sport, as we all do, you know, there's a fine line in golf. When you got it, oh, it is fun. And when you don't, you simply don't. And you probably know where I'm going with this with Nelly Korda, who started off on a rocket ship, winning 6 of 7, and now she's missed her last three cuts. That second round performance was tough to watch, emotional at times, posting her highest professional score of 81 in that second round. Those three missed cuts now have people wondering what's going on with the world's number one. How do you kind of diagnose what we're seeing with Nelly Korda currently?
Yeah, until Travis Kelce walked out on stage in London at Wembley Stadium with Taylor Swift, this was the most shocking thing I saw last week. After shooting 69 in round one, I think, Jordan, that was maybe the biggest thing. And her sister Jessica and nephew Grayson were out there cuddling and hugging, and everything felt right. She had shot 67 in the second round of the Meyer LPGA Classic, though she had missed the cut. She had shot a good second round, said she was hitting her tee ball better than she had all year, which is saying something for someone who had won 6 out of 7 tournaments at one stretch. And then to watch her go off on Friday afternoon in what was a major championship test, a difficult golf course, but for Nelly to bogey her first four, then bogey 4 of the next 10, and then double 15, and a player who leads the tour by a good margin in birdie average, birdies per round, to not make one until the 18th hole, and by then it was too late, and she missed by one. That was shocking. I'd go back to the U.S. Women's Open, and the 80 was shocking there on Thursday, but what I would say there is, we'll recall she made a 10 on the 12th hole, which was her third hole of the championship. And while that was shocking in its own way, I think there was a way in which you could have left Lancaster thinking, okay, one hole basically cost her not just a chance to make the cut, but maybe even a chance to work her way into contention on the weekend. She even posted after shooting 70 in the second round and missing the cut by a couple, well, that was a 10 out of 10 as a joke, and a reference to the 10 she made at the 12th hole. She could laugh about it. Then she goes to Meyer, Blythefield Country Club, where she has dominated. She's won there. She has a playoff appearance in another year. Shot 76 in the first round. Again, came back with the 67. And then to open with 69 and to follow it with the 81, I think that's, you know, there haven't yet been any posts, you know, kind of poking fun at herself there. I think this one stings. We saw the tears. She's a player who I think would be the first to say, look, 6 out of 7 is probably not realistic. You know, a lot of things went my way. She even said that afterwards, and now I'm giving it all back. But I do think, you know, we're not going to see her again until the Evian Championship in a couple of weeks, the next major. I think they're, you know, to quote her, giving it all back. I think you could suggest that so much of what she had built up in terms of confidence, you know, has taken a massive hit, and it's going to be fascinating to watch her with some huge tournaments coming up. You've got the Mundi Evian Championship. You've got the AIG Women's Open at the Old Course, and sandwiched in between, she'll be the defending champion at the Olympic Games, where she won the gold medal in Tokyo in 2021. Then there's the Solheim Cup after that. So what looked like a dream season feels like a nightmare at the moment. The bigger reality is that the truth is probably somewhere in between, as it usually is.
I want to talk about the golf course a little bit, Grant. Sahali got pleasant notices from a lot of people, not necessarily from everyone. You know, Jenny Shin had a funny tweet saying that she kind of hoped that the tournament didn't actually rush back there. She kind of had a rough week out there. From a viewer standpoint, a couple of thousand miles away, it looked claustrophobic. Frankly, it looked entirely uninteresting. A player playing ping pong off the woodwork for 4 days. Is that an unfair assessment of the venue?
I think it is, but I've come to expect that from you, so no surprise. You know, it is stunning. We joked we could barely fit the drone through there. They have a term, the sounds of Sahali. Leslie Ludlow, the general manager, was, and Brian Nicholson, the director of golf, they were joking about that. It is a very tight place, but as we saw, you know, 7 under 1, and with a good tee shot at 17, Amy Yang's probably double digits under par. If you hit it straight, you can play well. And this is not the first venue where you've had to hit it straight to have a good chance to play well. It's just usually at other venues, it's heavy rough that demands accuracy. In this case, you're talking about 100 foot plus cedars, pines, spruce trees, Douglas firs. That it looked like a Christmas tree farm, really. But to be, you know, bundled up in late June, not many were arguing about that. And yeah, if you got offline, you were in trouble. You could also have balls kicked back in the fairway. That happened multiple times. So there was a bit of the rub of the green there. I think Sahali is a phenomenal golf club. I think it looks, you said it looked uninteresting. You know, to me, it was stunning.
One thing that was settled yesterday, Grant, was also the Olympic standings for the games in Paris. We have the United States team's final standings. And here you see Nelly Korda, Lilia Vu, Rose Zhang. That really is a murderer's row of talent right there. What do you make of it when you see a team like that put together? You have to feel optimistic that the United States will retain the gold medal.
Well, I think the thing that jumps out to me is the fact that for the first time since Olympic golf, you know, came back to the games in 2016, we don't have any country with the max of four. Korea had its max, and you had to be in the top 15 to get as many as four. Korea had it the first two times. The U.S. had it in 2021. And with Amy Yang's victory, she moves from 25th up to fifth. And so she gets the eighth third spot. Korea only had two going into last week. Ali Ewing had to move into the top 15 to get the fourth spot. And when she parred 18, and then we saw the birdies from Vu and Yamashita of Japan, you know, and Jin Young Ko, we thought, oh boy, this could be what knocks Ali out. And she was really hoping to make that team. But yeah, as you look at Nelly, we're going to see what happens over the next, she's only going to play, I would imagine, the Evian, Amundi Evian Championship before she goes and plays in Paris. I wouldn't imagine she would play, you know, the event in between there. But I would say that Lilia is the one that as recently as 2 weeks ago, we didn't know about. I mean, she hadn't played since late March, and then she comes back last week at the Meyer. She plays her first event, you know, in 2.5-3 months, and she wins in a playoff with a 65. And for a brief moment, we wondered maybe after being in 70th place in round one, maybe she could make this big finishing kick again on Sunday. And it just wasn't quite enough. But it's great to see Lilia healthy after nursing the back injury. And here we have Rose Zhang. Think about this. A year ago, June of 2023, Rose Zhang was turning professional. Now she is a two-time LPGA winner. She's a Solheim Cup participant already, having played last September in Spain. And now she is going to be an Olympian, the most decorated American amateur of this generation, of this modern era, has accomplished a lot on the professional level in 12 months.
Three huge events down in the women's game, three huge events to go this summer. Grant, we always appreciate your insights. Thanks for spending some time with us.
Okay, Eamon and Jordan, great to be with you.
Good stuff there from Grant. Yes, a huge performance from Amy Yang. Heck of a week she had at Sahali Country Club, her first major coming at the age of 34 years old. Congratulations to the South Korean.
Jordan, you know, it's just in the last 14 months, we've seen sub-60 scores on the PGA Tour, the Korn Ferry Tour, LIV, the Asian Tour, the Sunshine Tour. By my count, we've got 559s, a 58 and a 57. Is the currency getting cheapened, this currency of excellence?
I could see that thought path, but for me and the level of golfer I am, still marveling when I see these pros go out there and post some of the scores. And if you have a 9 as the first number in your score, especially on the PGA Tour, that still is magical to me. I don't think that ever changes. I mean, look, Jim Furyk in his eventual Hall of Fame career, one of the moments that will always be iconic is the fact that he posted in a final round a 58. Like, that's still holds that majestic place for me.
And it's amazing how many times the sub-60 rounds haven't actually gone on to win, which I guess just shows you what they're up against out there. 13 times it's been done on the PGA Tour by 12 different players, because Jim Furyk's the only guy who's got a 59 and a 58 out there. But we are getting to the point where the Champions Tour is the last bastion of scoring.
Do you think it happens?
Oh, I think it will happen out there. I'm surprised it's the only record Langer hasn't broken at this point, but we still do not actually have anyone who's shot sub 60 among the senior set. Someone's going to shoot their age out there.
Hey, I'll tell you what, it's going to happen at some point. I hope I'm watching when it does, and I hope it's on our air.
Well, we'll see you tomorrow. We're going to talk some US Senior Open. Gary Cook will be here and Minwoo Lee. Enjoy the rest of your Monday.